I will start a series tonight that I want to call the word full colon July. Say to your neighbor the word your life. Praise God. Say to another neighbor the word your life. I want to be careful to set us on a proper foundation. Some of the things that I'll be sharing with us, I know those of us that have been around for long, we have some understanding of them, but I don't want to relate based on the people that have been around for long. I want to relate based on a church that is just starting, so that we can all start with that assumption. The lowest level of knowledge is assumption, so I don't want to assume. So it will be good for us as believers to build on a proper foundation, so that we all know that this is the foundation, you know, which we are building everyone that comes to the church. So that's what I'm going to do that. And some of us will hear old things in a new way, and some of us will be hearing certain things in a new way. That is critical. So I want us to open our heart and be receptive. I'm sure that you will have some stuff that you will take home and will be a blessing to you. Amen. So the word, your life. I take this for some weeks, as long as I can. I want to be sure that, like I said, we have shared knowledge of what the word is. So I've been talking about God's word. I've been talking about the benefits in the word of God. I've been talking about how to operate God's word. I've been talking about what we need to do, you know, to the word of God. So I take this in series, and I want us to come. With no serious believers on Wednesdays, actually. Midweek services, actually. Sunday is a celebration service. When I was born, whether I wanted or not, I had to go to church on Sundays. Do you understand? So, believers, unbelievers, you know Christ, you don't know Christ. As long as you be at James and Peter and Paul, you go to church on Sundays. But the people that are growing, people that want to know Christ, we come to church midweek service, because that's where the word of God is taught, you know, a step upon step, a little here, a little there. So if you really want to grow, you come to midweek service. And I want you to encourage you to so do, because by the grace of God, I will put a lot of emphasis on midweek service, because I know that is where people will grow. And let me say something to you. The more of Christ that you have on the inside of you, the more the possibilities your life will be filled up. Let me repeat that. The more of Jesus that you have, the greater the breakthrough, the greater the possibilities, you know, your life will be filled with. Let me put it in another way. You are unlimited. Say to your neighbor, you are unlimited. The way God has created us, He has created us as unlimited. You know, this day we say company is limited. Mm-mm. With God, you are actually unlimited. Now, what limits you is the extent to which you can see the future. That's the limitation. You know, Jesus was saying, was speaking, you know, to His disciples. He says, see that the field is ripe for harvest. And so let's pray that God will supply, you know, the harvesters. Now, where he was saying that, he was making that profound statement in a city where he was not believed in. Did you get that? You know, it's like somebody goes to Arabia and he's staying in Saudi Arabia and see he can see church, you know, all of the places. People around will say, is there something wrong with you? But the truth of the matter is that the far you can see, do you understand that, is the land that you can conquer. And one thing that the word of the Lord does in your heart is expanding your horizon, expanding your possibilities, expanding your ability. A Christian that has Jesus in his heart will say, with me, nothing is impossible. And that's what I want us to begin to see concerning God's word. And so let's take as a test John chapter 1. And I'm making to see where I say the Word, you know, your life. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Praise God. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Now, in God, in His Word was life. Praise God. Now, the first thing I want you to see, so I just want to do general intro tonight, so I tie scriptures together. Now, in Him was life. So, two things you begin to see, because when God is talking about the Word, and He's saying in the Word, so that means that the Word is not only a written document, that the Word is a person. And so, when you open the Bible, you are opening a person. You know, we make a lot of mistakes by thinking that when you are reading the Bible, you are reading letters. The Bible makes us to know that this Bible is a person. And the Bible says not only that it's a person, that in that person is life. Praise God. So God's Word is a person personified. And because it's a person, there is life in that person. And the Bible says, in Him was life. He said, and that life is the light of men. So, now listen to this. God's Word supplies life. You don't get it. What He's saying is this. When you know the Word of God, you know life. You don't get it. When you have life, there's no deadness in you. You don't get it. When you have life, it has ability to bring every deadness to life in you. That is critical because, so I will say this statement, which you need to put on your left hand, not to use to hit Amala. If you want development in any area of your life, if you want growth in any area of your life, if you want resurrection in any area of your life, all that you need to do is to take in more life. Did you get that? In other words, how well we live, how well you will be, is a factor of the fullness of life that you have. So, let me put it in a way that you understand better. The more of God's Word that you consume, the deeper the life of God that you experience. So, the corollary says this, when you stay away from God's Word, you are moving to deadness. And that is why one of the ways to quicken the dead or to quicken any dead aspect of your life, deadness, barrenness, one of the ways to get over it is to speak life. The Bible says that when God formed the whole world, He said the world was without form. There was no order. Do you get that? You know, there was no picture, there was nothing that you can see. But God, a perfect God, actually made it. And I thought that God would be worried. God would be perplexed. But no, He was not. He knew that in Him was life. Listen. And that life is the light. So, when He created, everything was disordered. Darkness all over the place. He knew that all that He had to do was to speak life. And when He started speaking life, because the Bible says, Genesis 1:3, He said, and let there be. Verse 7, let there be. Let there be. You know, it was life who was speaking all along. Why? Because the Bible says the word is life. And that is why, if you really want to live, the word has to be your life. That's the first importance I want you to see. If you really want to live, if you really want to prevail, if you really want to excel, you really want to fulfill purpose, the first thing you must ensure is that you breathe in life. Praise the Lord. You breathe in life. More of God, more of life that you have on the inside of you. Because the Bible says, in him was life, and that life was the light. You know what I mean? Acts 20:32. Let's see that place. When Paul was leaving, and he said certain things to the disciples. Acts 20:32. Paul speaking to the elders and the disciples when he's about to depart. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God, and then, see, again, to the word of his grace, which is able. Now, I want you to see this. He said, I'm committing you to his word. Now, there's an inherent ability in the word of God. He wasn't committing them to any other thing. He said, I'm committing you to God and to his word, which has inherent ability. Now, to see what the Bible says, to build. Hello, somebody. He has an ability to build. So, in other words, is alluding to the fact again that there is life in the word of God. There's capacity to build in the word of God. Praise God. He said, I commit you to that word that is able to build you up. And not only that, he said, to give you inheritance. So I'm emphasizing the fact that God's word is life. And there is life in the word of God. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If you're here, say amen. I have to be sure you are here because I know that it's a bit hot. I'm sure from Sunday, things should be getting better. You know why? The part of the just. Okay, so you get it. James 1. And the Bible says, therefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, I want to stay there. I'm sure you read this severally for several years. The Bible talks about the engrafted word. It's not talking about the word of God alone. It's talking about the engrafted word. Now, this is what the Bible is saying, and I want you to understand it. I want you to get it. Now, in grafting, what you do in grafting is you cut a branch. There is the main stem. So, you cut a branch. You tie it to the stalk. You know, and you wait. You nurture. You find out that cut branch that you come to tie here, we begin to do what? We begin to grow. Now, I want you to see what the Bible is saying here in that light. It said, taking the engrafted word. Now, what is the engrafted word? When you gave your life to Christ, I've heard this to us before, and I want to say again, there's nothing actually like you gave your life to Christ. But it's become, you know, in Christendom, we have some statements that have become normal statement. But there's nobody that gives his life to Christ. Hello? Christ found you out. We're able to see that from the book of Titus. You know, Christ found you. And so where Christ found you, you release yourself. And you can see that example, the way Jesus took his apostles. You just saw some of them doing fishing. He said, leave that, follow me. You know, and then he got to another place, Andrew got them. Then he got to another place, say, you follow me. Do you understand that? God will look for you. And then you will now find him. And so God found you, and then you gave your life to him. So the process of giving your life to Jesus has God deposited on the inside of you. So every Christian has God on the inside of them. So there's a grafting of God to your heart at salvation. Did you get that? If you got that, say amen. There's a grafting of God into your heart when you gave your life to him. So when the Bible is now saying, taking the engrafted word of God, what he's saying, now listen to me, is relevant to what the Bible says in the book of Philippians that said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So when you have the grafts, if the graft is not nurtured, you don't wet it. You don't put soil. You know, you find out that it will die. So it's not automatic. Or, let me put it in another way. The grafting of God to your heart is a potential. Did you get that? It is a potential. It is a deposit. So, the growth, the manifestation, the changes that will come, is a product of how you wet the grafting or the graft, as the case may be, how you had soil, how you had manure. And that is why two people will be listening to the same word. You'll be hitting from the same place. But see, transformation in those two lives will be different. Why? Because one does more of putting water, of adding manure. The other one is waiting for somebody to come and add manure. And that's what the Bible says, you do well to take him, the engrafted. So the process of taking him is one of the things you are doing tonight. You expose your heart to the word of God. You expose your heart to the truth. You are careful of what you listen to. You are careful of what you're taking. Praise God. Let me say this to you. I go back a bit. You need to get this. After salvation, which was a gift, the next process that must happen in our life is the salvation of our souls. At salvation, it was your spirit that was grafted to God. The bridge between man of God, man and God, salvation, you know, bridges. And so at salvation, your body was not born again. Your mind was not born again. It was your spirit that was born again. And so after that, what you are left with now is your own efforts. Now listen to this word, to get your own mind born again. Romans chapter 12. If you're understanding, say amen. Good. Romans chapter 12. See what the Bible is saying here. Romans chapter 12. Romans is after Genesis. Have you seen it? Okay, Romans is on page 1460. So Romans 20, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And see, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Two words. And that is what plays out in the life of every believer. You can conform. Conform means you can be like them. Conform means I don't want to rock the boat. Conform means I want to blend. I know that a lot of us will blend. Praise God. A good example of conforming is the book of Psalm, chapter 1. It's talking about how a believer should walk. You must not be found in the seats. You must not walk. And then you must not have conversation. Now, when you walk, when you sit, when you have conversation, you know, with unbelievers, that is, you are conformed. You are being like them. You are playing. In other words, you are dissolving yourself in the crowd. You are responding to the way the world will respond. You speak like they will speak. You think the way they will think. You behave the way that they behave. We cannot single you out. We cannot search you out. You know, that's confirmation. The only way that you can lead is transformation. It's either you conform or transformation. Now, one thing about transformation I want you to get is this. Transformation is, okay, if you did biology, transformation is metamorphosis. You understand? It is changing. You are gradually changing from a form to another form. Now, you don't get it. You need to get it. Now, listen. And this is critical. When the Bible talks about transformation, transformation is a process. Transformation is not a station. In other words, you don't change overnight. Hello? Metamorphosis, you go from egg to larva. Larva, you go to pupa, and then you go to adults. You know? That process. Now, I think there's an animal that do not do the larva. You know, they go to... But the process is you change from one to the other to the other. Now, you need to get this. You don't change from egg to adult in a day. It would be wrong for me to judge you that you haven't moved from egg, you know, to adult. You know that's what a lot of Christians will do. We are quick to condemn, to judge, to cast away, because we see that this person is changing. But in our heart, we set a standard. But transformation does not happen overnight. It is a gradual thing. Number two, that I want you to get about transformation.
Transformation is not a change from outside to inside. Transformation is a change from inside to outside. Hello? You need to get that. Something is happening on my inside and is gradually permeating my system. Conform is from your outside. Transformation is from your inside. And that is critical for believers. He said, let's go back there. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now listen. I said to us that after salvation, the next area that you want to deal with is your mind. Why is your mind critical to your destiny? Why is your mind critical to your purpose? Your mind is talking about your thinking faculty. Your mind is talking about your reasoning. Your mind is talking about your understanding. Can you see the example of unrenewed mind in the scriptures? The people that were chosen to go and search out the land. Did you begin to see it? They were chosen to go and search out the land. And when they got to the land, all of them but one, he said, we cannot. We are unable. And a renewed mind is a mind that says something is not possible. And a renewed mind is a mind that said, I cannot. Now, if they just stop like that, it's still okay. But they said, we are like grasshoppers in our own eyes. So they see us as grasshoppers. Where did they have that council meeting? Where did they have that discussion? That is the problem of a mind that is not renewed. A mind that is not renewed is limited in horizon, is limited in possibilities. Is a mind that is not renewed that we fail once and we stay failed. An unrenewed mind is a mind that we fall once and we remain on the ground. Why? Because the mind is not renewed. And because God wants excellence, because God wants success, because there's a place God is taking you to. You say, oh boy, after your spirit is born, the next area, if you want to work with me, God said to Lot, he said to Abraham, when he's spoken to Abraham for years, you're going to have a child of promise. And Abraham said, God said, okay, come. I know what I'm going to do. God knew that his mind was blocked because the mind was not renewed. God said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Do you understand? Out of his love. Came man, shaven boy, you to forget in Timon. So he said, come. He said, come outside. He said, now, oh yeah, lift your eyes and begin to count. That was when Romans chapter 4. That was when the Bible says, and Abraham believed. In other words, God was able to take away the blinding of his mind. Listen, not the blinding of his eyes. You have some people that can't see, but their mind can see even much more than the people that have the two globes. Why? Because of the mind. And that's why James 1:21 said, because he knows that Your life and your destiny depends on your mind, whether it's born again or it's not born again. That's why I said, take in the engrafted word that is able to do what? That is able to save your soul. The more of the engrafting that you do, the more salvation will come to your soul. Let me put it in another way. The more of transformation that begins to happen to you. I want to say to you tonight that you don't joke with God's word. If you really want to go far with God, we tend to replace many things with God's word in our lives. Sometimes we replace with prayer. Some of us, you know, and then they give you 20 ways, 20 soap to bath, and then go and carry some precious stones and go and bath with them. And then they see prophecy, and then you must not eat pepper, you know, for 7 days. One of my daughter, I broke that. She said, I must not wear red color clothes. I think red and black. Moni yeye, boss your ja, colora, as your to red the color. In your to war by, or fine by again. Again, the devil wants to keep you on the same spot. You understand that? Like I was saying on Sunday, one of my sons in the Lord said, he said, hey, sir, I will not attend that burial because somebody just came to my office. He just walked in. I never knew him. I want to man shaki. I never knew. He said, you must not attend a burial ceremony for the next 3 months. I said to him, may it be unto you according to your faith. Because mama wa burial, mama dale kuri ma fo. Come, emile monsun la ri uru. Okay? Yeah. They understand, but those are stupid things. Because we lack understanding. And so when you take in the engrafted word, your mind will be transformed. Your mind will be illuminated. Your mind will receive understanding. And so when somebody is saying rubbish, says, excuse me, sir, that is stupidity and nonsensical. But we get shivered. And then we run etta skater when people say things to us, even though they are not in line with the word of God. But the more of this you take, the better your life become. I round up Matthew 4:4. Jesus responded to the devil. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, I'll continue from here next week, but you need to get this. Man should live by bread, but man should not live by it alone. You need that bread for your survival. You need that bread so that you will not have headache. You not have hypoglycemia. But listen, that is not the only way to live. So when you have, now listen to this. Normal life, you live by bread. Extraordinary life, you live by every word that proceed from his mouth. So rise to your feet. I will close here tonight. I will continue. There is normal life. You live by daily bread. Extraordinary life. Supernatural life. You live by what proceeds from his mouth. So I begin to break that down, you know, from next week. Just general intro that we have tonight. And I begin to give us from various topics. Come and lift your hands to God and say, I love your word, God. I love your word. I love life.
I love Jesus. I say, I receive your word. With meekness, I receive understanding. I receive illumination. I receive help. And I receive light. I'll not remain the same again because of your word. Hallelujah to Jesus. I commit you to the word of God tonight, the word of his grace, which is able to build you, which is able to grant you inheritance among the saints. The word will keep you as you go. The word will minister to you as you go. The word will strengthen your heart as you go. And I ask life into every deadness tonight. I speak life into every barrenness tonight. And you begin to experience resurrection in every aspect of your life. We give you glory, Father. Praise forever. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God say, amen.